You may be seated. This morning we're finishing up our series titled Called, and I'm going to ask Anthony and Charlene and Greg and Nick to come forward. And I want them to share with us what it means to be called. And so if you will join me down here. Now, friends, I want you to all know that we are all called, every single one of us. We are all called uniquely and distinctly. And so I just have asked each one of these individuals, they have all been called specifically by God to serve in a distinct way, as I believe that all of us have been. And so if you would, just take a couple minutes and just share with us, what does it mean to you to be called by God? Nick, if you'll start us out.
I guess that means I go first. Okay. For me, it's not so much something you can put to words. It's like a gut instinctual feeling. I got my call in a very dark place, like personally where I was at in my situation. It's really weird for me to say, but it's true. I was very lost, and you know, out of that lost, out of that darkness, I found a light, and I got my call probably in the lowest part of my life. And you may think like, where's the justification? Where's the strength in your call if that's how low you were? But you know what? I mean, that's when I turned to God. And in that turning to God, I found like a purpose. For me, my call is more than less like a fulfilling of a destiny that I didn't even know I had. It's having a childlike optimism in a world that, you know, it tells you it's not normal to have. And for me, it's that optimism is what I turn to every day. It's, you know, I don't know how else to put it, but being weird for Jesus. And you know what? If it's weird to have this call to serve God, then you know what? I'm going to be as weird as I can.
Before you pass the microphone. Was there ever a point in your journey thus far where you questioned, like, is this really real?
Is my call really real?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I mean, the other day I was actually talking with my mother about it, not because you asked about this question, but I'll share you the story of my call. You know, I was not having a good time at college. I was failing a few classes. And I remember very vividly, I was actually walking from my friend's apartment back to my dorm. And I turned to my roommate and I said, you know, I think I'm going to go into ministry. Now, hold on, let me give you the context. I was going to school for conservation ecology. There's no, like, segue right there. So. And like since then, I've asked myself, wait, like, have I had doubt? And every time I've had doubt, I go back to that moment because it's like, who makes that jump unless it's real? So
exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I know that I've had conversations with Nick from time to time as well, just affirming what God is doing in his life and through his life. And so, friends, it's normal for us to question. It's normal. It's normal for us to really wrestle with those things as to what God is asking us to do. That's normal. That's okay. Greg, if you would share, please.
Yeah, so growing up, I had a general view of how my life was going to go. I was going to go through church and then go into psychology. I would become either a psychiatrist, a psychologist, something along the lines of that. Make a lot of money, buy a nice house. Buy a house for my parents. I would have a bunch of animals at my house because I like animals. And basically what happened was God said, that's cute, but that's not what's going to happen. In all likelihood, I would go through my life and some of that would probably work out. Not all of that. I'd probably have one or two less animals than I would like. But fortunately, it's as though everything in my life lost meaning, and that sounds a bit harsh, but I'll get to my point. when you look at the gospel, the life of Jesus Christ, the validity of the gospel, the historicity of Christ, and generally the entire philosophy of Christianity, it's truth. And it can be argued as truth. Meaning that there's people out there that have this idea of existential truth that, you know, my truth is my truth and your truth is your truth. And the fact is there's an objective standpoint from which we can look at that there's only one truth, and that truth is Jesus Christ. Now, why am I doing ministry? Charles Spurgeon, he was a prince of preachers. He said it best, I think. He said, if there's anything in the world that you can do and it's not ministry, do that. But the fact is there's nothing that I can do that gives me any sense or purpose or desire to do than share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I think you all noticed that Greg kind of talks up here a little bit. Oh. Yeah, so, and you know, I feel free to kind of, yeah. You know, I appreciate that, Greg. I really do. And Greg, in his own time, is so passionate about what God is doing. I mean, he is listening to studies and sermons on all kinds of things that, quite honestly, sometimes in seminary classrooms, they don't even talk about, okay? So, I mean, Greg is so passionate, but compare with where you were with the fulfillment and the passion that you have now. Is there any comparison?
Well, there's not any comparison because one's completely surface level. One's gone on my own intuition, own desire. I desired to have an awesome life. The other is deeper. The other is rooted in meaning, and the other is rooted in I look out into the world. We're all searching for a greater truth, and we're all searching for the purpose and meaning, and a lot of us don't get there, and that's because they don't come in contact with the validity of the gospel.
So outside of the gospel of Jesus Christ, people will never realize that fulfillment of purpose. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's 100% true.
Okay, amen. Amen. And a lot of us, we meander throughout life. We really do. You know, I know that my life, it took me into the business world for 17 some odd years, and I know that, you know, I was searching, and I always knew that that wasn't the end, but I really didn't know the end road for me. And you know, praise God that at your age, you've found that. And I think that what I'm hearing from Greg is that we all have that purpose, that God has created us for that unique purpose to live out for him in this life, in this world. And that's what's awesome, friends. That's amazing. It absolutely is. Anthony, if you would share.
I could pretty well echo what these two guys have said. I had a plan for my life. God had a different one. And I think a lot of you know I have a whole bunch of kids, so I have a way of simplifying things like this. You can talk about Christ and the gospel and the Word of God and get so technical and so complicated that none of us will understand it. And on the other hand, you can simplify it to the point where even a young child can. And for me, it breaks down like this. I think we've all had a calling. Every one of us in this room and outside of this room, we've all had a calling. I know I have probably hundreds of times in my life and ignored them, most of them. When you choose to follow Christ, it changes things. When you find yourself in obedience to the Spirit, and the Gospels, they change you. They give you that satisfaction that you can't find no matter how hard you look or where you look. And it's, for me, that's how it worked. It was just a quick experiment. Let me try for a couple of days to really obey God. Everything he says, every word, every message, every note. And life was good, so I did it for a week. And life was better, and if you've ever seen somebody who has no reason to smile, they're walking down the street just whistling and smiling, having a way better day with you than you, and you can't figure out why, it's just simply Christ. It's simply the Spirit. It's simply that person found himself in obedience. They found themselves within the protection of Jesus' love. And when we find ourselves there, life gets good, and it's just that easy.
Okay. About 6-8 months ago, I remember talking with Anthony, and his buzzword was obedience. 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 I mean, every time I met with Anthony, whether it was over coffee or whatever, you know, it was all about being obedient to where God is leading. You know, and Anthony is being obedient in a specific ministry. And why don't you share just a little bit about what is a burning desire and passion on your heart here at Trinity, if you would.
Yeah. And again, I'll have to point out, it's not me. This is what Christ pointed me to do. This isn't my passion to come to the church a couple times a week and work and do whatever I do. You know, it's about doing what God wants me to do. And luckily, He chose to give me tangible ways to see that my efforts have been making a difference. I see some faces in this church that we haven't seen in a long time. What we're doing is just getting together and praying for you, for everybody here. We pray for anybody. If we hear somebody's nephew was in a car accident, we're praying for you and your nephew, whether you know it or not. We don't always tell you, but we do. People that are hurting, people that are sick, people in the hospital, we might send them a little card, just try to lift their spirit. Somebody we haven't seen in a while here, somebody we've never seen here, maybe one of your neighbors who isn't even Christian, we'll send them a card and say, hey, we know you've been going through some struggles and we're praying for you. You know, if you want to pray with us, come and join us. And like I said, that tangible, I see a few people here that probably got one of those cards and they're here now. And for me, that makes a big difference because I'm not a hugely faithful person, you know. God has to show me where I've been making a difference, and He hasn't, and that's nice. So that's what we've been doing, is just trying to draw other people nearer to Christ and praying for you when you need it most.
Yep. Anthony, we are calling that the Welcome Ministry, and that meets Mondays at 1:30. I believe the next meeting will be on the 12th of September. Is that correct?
No. Actually, if anybody's interested, it's not on the calendar, it's not in the bulletin, but we're having an exploratory meeting this Thursday at 7 o'clock. If anybody would just like to come and sit in, join us, let us know what you're thinking, what you're doing, or you can find my phone number here at the church. If you want to text me anytime, email me, call me, let me know if somebody needs a card, if somebody needs a prayer, that's fine too. But we certainly encourage all of you to seek that obedience and to seek Christ. And if He tells you to be here on Thursday, well, then come and join us.
Well, I'm the mature one of the group. I would say that what it is to be called, my son used to have a shirt that says, and it was referring to weightlifting, but it said, when you want it as bad, when you want it as bad as you want to breathe, then you will succeed.
Yes. When you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, then you will succeed.
Yes, and I would say being called is like that. You want it so bad, and you want everybody to experience it so bad that it just burns in your heart. And I always pray, because in our flesh, we can't do it. It has to be through Christ. And I always pray, God, let me have eyes that see like you. Let me have ears that hear like you. And let me have a heart that loves like you. And I just think that it's just such a joy to see these young people up here and I guess an old person like myself, you know, doing ministry. That's awesome.
Charlene, where is God leading you?
Well, I'm going to college. It seems like I've been going to school most of my life, and that's true. But I'm going towards chaplaincy, and I would like to be also a pastoral clinical Christian counselor. And so I'm getting schooling for that. But I will do whatever God asks me to do. So I'm open. So.
Okay, all right. And your journey and to discern where God is leading you, has that been always straight? Has it always been clear?
Oh, no. My journey has been full of ups and downs. And some downs were really, really bad downs. But I would say 13 years ago when I walked through the church, I knew I was home. I knew God had a purpose for me, and I just prayed for Him to show me. And I'll say that I look out here, and my heart just, it swells with love because some of the people that helped pave my way are sitting in the pews. I love you guys. And God loves you too. My grandma was 95 years old, and she would pray, and she'd say, she was blind completely. God, why am I still alive? What is my purpose? And you know what? God gave her a purpose. She was blind, and she led a Bible study because she knew it from beginning to the end. We all have purposes, amen. No matter what our age is.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you all. Y'all can have a... There is, friends, one enemy to our call. And I don't want to be a science teacher here, but the second law of thermodynamics basically speaks of entropy. Now, what entropy is that basically says through a course of time, to the point where they will slow to a complete stop. And friends, our call works like that. And I think as we listen to everyone up here, I don't think that our call works like that. I know it works like that. You know, every time I do counseling for a couple preparing for a wedding, I always talk about the law of entropy. And it was interesting that a week ago, as Kathy and I, we were finishing up our premarital counseling, that the table was twisted and it was shifted and it was turned around on me. And Pastor Ken, he began to tell us and encourage us and to challenge Kathy and me to never stop dating, to never stop filling each other with our love that we have for one another. For if you do, then it will just slowly grind to a halt. And that is the second law of entropy. And as we look at our word for the day this morning, we're going to look, and I don't have the slide, I put them all in your bulletin, the scriptures. So if you'll turn to the far right of your bulletin, you'll notice the scripture text that we read. We're going to see four different things that God wants us to do. And out of this whole passage, we found that Jesus and the disciples, they crossed over to the other side of the sea. And when they crossed over, they realized that they did not bring any bread. The disciples did. And so basically, they began to murmur and to clamor amongst themselves about, hey, we don't have any bread. And entropy in our spirit, friends, it looks like this, is that we move away from the spiritual things and then we settle on physical things. And that's what happens in our soul, is that when we don't invest in our relationship with Jesus Christ, in our relationship with our Heavenly Father, then our spiritual lives, it slowly grinds to a halt. And when it slowly grinds to a halt, then we put our efforts, our energies, and our intentions into the things of this world. And that's exactly where the disciples were when they clamored and they said, we didn't bring any bread. They were more concerned with the physical things than they were with the mission of Christ, with the mission of Jesus, the Messiah in their midst. And this is the first thing that we need to really wrap our mind around. Any one of these individuals that stood up here, and many individuals before them, and from the last church that I was at, you could talk with them all. We minister out of our relationship with Jesus, friends. And it doesn't mean just the professional clergy. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you have a vibrant relationship with Christ, then you will interact with other people out of that relationship. And when he fills you with his love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, and self-control, then you will be filling others into their hearts and minds and souls with that same love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, and self-control. So when we were sitting in that room with Pastor Ken, the question had to be asked, what kind of love are Kathy and I going to fill? Are we going to fill each other with a love that hopes that we get something in return? Or are we going to fill each other with a love that is rooted and comes forth out of our individual relationship with Jesus? And it's the latter of the two that really will prove to be the most beneficial. And so the first thing that God wants us to do is that he wants us to admit that we have a real need for a relationship with Jesus. Now, this doesn't mean that we raised our hand or came forward or we prayed a sinner's prayer. That's not what it means. What it means is that we have a real need to commune daily with our Savior, Jesus. That's what it means. If you picture a husband and a wife that never spend any time together, you kind of have to question and ask and say, okay, where is their relationship at? What's going on there? There has to be some sort of connection, some sort of communication, some sort of interaction to at least have some sort of relationship at all. And yet in our Christian circles, this is what we do. We kind of hide behind and we back out the door of the room of our relationship when we say, well, God understands. I'm giving my best. I can't tell you how many times I hear people, Christians, tell me that. I can't tell you that. And I really have to believe that Jesus gave it all for you, and therefore the requirement for us, we didn't read this, but we could go on in verse 24. If anyone wants to follow Jesus, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, sacrifice, 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 and then follow. You see, the law of entropy, the law of grinding to a halt, of saying, it's okay, God understands, he doesn't really require that of me. It really causes us to slow down in our spiritual journey. And you know what the cost is, friends? The cost is the excitement. The cost is the joy. The cost is the happiness. The cost is the peace. The cost is the benefits that God wants to bless you and me with. And we don't understand that we're putting those on the altar every time we compromise, every time we rationalize, and we step out of the room backwards and we say, Jesus, you understand. And in all reality, when we step forward, when we say, you know what, it feels like I'm going to step off a ledge. It feels like I'm going to jump off a cliff. But God's called me to this. He's asking me to do this. We are admitting our real need for the Savior, the creator of the world. Colossians says that all things are made through Jesus, by him and for him, and he is the firstborn, he is the preeminent one. He is above all and he is in all. And because of all of that, we need to give him our all. And we must do that by admitting that we have a real need for a relationship with Jesus. The second thing that we need to admit is we need to admit that we need to have a real need for biblical teaching from the Bible. There's a craze in our country this day. And the craze goes like this. It's a feel-good teaching. It's a feel-good. The preachers and the pastors, they seek to just say, oh, you're okay, I'm okay. And in all reality, we need to have the mentality like McMahon, who wrote the book, you know, Why Sin Matters. And in that book, he says, I'm a mess and you're a mess. We're all a mess. And we need to have that true, solid, biblical teaching to understand, because relationship in a marriage, it's like you're living with a living mirror, is it not, for those of you who have been married anytime? You're living with a living mirror. I've been single long enough to understand that I can get in my own rut. Now, I've also understand that over the last 8 months or so that, you know, having Kathy in my life, that she is that living mirror that causes me to be aware of things that I otherwise would not be aware of. Friends, that's painful. That hurts. That's what God's word does to our soul. God's word reveals to us those imperfections, reveals to us those flaws and those qualities that we have that are unbecoming of him, that are not Christ-like. And that's why we need to have that true biblical sound teaching in our relationship with Christ. The law of entropy, the second law of thermodynamics, says that you don't need that. It's all about you. And when we remove the Bible, Jesus in John 17, I think it's verse 17, he says, Lord, Father, sanctify them by your truth, meaning make them holy, perfect them, complete them. And then he says, thy word is truth. You see the connection? We can go to John John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. He is the living Word. We remove the Word of God from our life, from our daily life, and then we slowly, in our spiritual journey, we grind to a halt, and then we have nothing left. It starts with our relationship with Christ, friends. The second thing that God wants us to is that he wants us to confirm that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. In 16 of verse 16, Simon Peter, after Jesus asked, who do people say that I am? Simon Peter, he responded and he replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we need to confirm that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, through our words and through our actions. You see, when we allow things in our spiritual journey to slow and to grind to a halt with the second law of thermodynamics, we really do not confirm that Jesus is the Christ. And I'll tell you the reason why. It's because we have subtly put ourselves on the throne in our heart, and we haven't placed God there. We haven't placed Jesus there. And we confirm that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, through our words. The overflow of the heart comes out the mouth, friends. What you put in your soul, what you put in your mind, what you put in your very being will come out. And so if our relationship with Jesus is not where it needs to be, then basically our words are not going to be where they need to be. The old garbage out. Put in our soul whatever is true, whatever is good, whatever is holy, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, then those things are going to come out of us. And then our actions are going to follow suit. The opposite is true, and the enemy of being called is entropy, allowing things to grind to a halt, and it all starts with your relationship with Jesus. The third thing that God has asked you and me to do is that we need to depend upon the leading of the Holy Spirit. In verse 17, Jesus answered Peter, and he said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Now, I don't have to tell you that if you remove your relationship with Christ, you will not sense the leading of the Holy Spirit. You cannot have one without the other. You cannot have the Holy Spirit leading in a vibrant way, in a way that will be just encouraging and energizing if you do not invest in your relationship with Him. And if you invest in your relationship with Christ on a daily basis, through prayer, through the reading of His Word, through being around fellow believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, that will encourage you to go further, you know what you will find? You will find that the Holy Spirit will lead you. You will be more sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And it works in opposite of the law of entropy. And it encourages you, and you move forward, and you get energized. And then your will is to do His will. But the opposite. When you allow things in your relationship with Jesus to slow down and say, "It's okay, I only have 5 minutes. I'm going to give you, Jesus, 5 minutes. And ultimately what we're doing is we're giving Him the scraps of our life. Rather than waking up first thing and letting our knees hit the floor and saying, "Jesus, I don't know how long I'm going to be here, but I'm going to be here until you let me say it's okay to go and you tell me that I can start my day." Now, the struggle is real. I'll tell you that firsthand. This past week, with all the wedding plans and the preparations that Kathy and I have been, you know, dealing with, I'm going to tell you, I have more things falling off of my plate than what I can really count. The struggle is real. And the temptation for all of us is this, is to say, you know what, I really don't have the time to commit to reading my Bible, to praying to Jesus. I really don't have that time. I'm going to hit the ground running, and I'm going to get everything. The interesting thing is when we have that mentality, let me just ask you, how well do things go? Not very well. The opposite is true, too. You put God first, you invest in your relationship with Jesus, and then it's like everything just falls in order. It falls in place. It's amazing how that happens. And so I challenge all of us to fight against the law of grinding things to a halt in your life. I challenge you all. I challenge myself. Because, friends, that's the great enemy of being called by God. If you show me an individual who is not living in their call, I will show you an individual that has allowed their spiritual relationship with Jesus to be ground to a halt. And what's worse is then we become so concerned about only us that we don't have any heart or concern about those that need Jesus. That's where it goes. It becomes a me Christianity. It becomes all about me, and it becomes about the music. It becomes about the scripture reading. It becomes about the messages, and we don't like certain things. And then we say, this isn't sitting well with my soul. Well, friends, maybe it shouldn't sit well with your soul, because it's not about you. It's about Jesus, and it's about Him being glorified. It's about Him being praised and exalted. And moreover, it's not about you. It's about them out there, because the church is here that exists as the light of the world and the salt of the earth, not for you, friends, but for them, for those that aren't in the family of God. Don't meet me in the parking lot. Take it up with Jesus. I didn't say it. These aren't my words. This is Jesus. And this is the last thing that he wants you and me to do and understand. After Peter exclaimed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus says in verse 18, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the powers of death shall not prevail against it." And this is the last thing that we need to do, and that's to expect the fulfillment of Jesus' promise, and his promise is to build his church. You know, there's churches, over 5,000 churches close every year. Every year. And I'm going to venture out on a limb here, and I'm going to guess that the reason that they close is they allowed the second law of thermodynamics to take place, and that's the law of entropy, to grind in a place and to bring it to a halt in such a manner that they were less concerned about those out there than they were about Jesus and calling us to serve them. And when you are less concerned about them out there, you are more concerned with yourself. I have been convicted over the last week or so, week and a half. You see, when I was in the business industry, I shared my faith on probably on a close to a daily basis. And you know, I didn't get into the ministry to play church. That's not why I feel that God has called me into the ministry. On Friday nights, you're not going to want to miss this. I'm going to challenge you. I believe it's on the 23rd of September. We are going to start Frontline. I've been meeting with a group of people. We just started meeting on Friday nights, and I challenge you. I invite you all to come out and see what it's all about. But I have been convicted that ever since I have been in ministry, that my faith has been shared less and less and less and less. I had a conversation this past Friday with a group of individuals, some that were up here. And my challenge to them was, share your faith. Share your faith. The funny thing is, friends, is this past week, I probably shared my faith three times at least. And every time you share your faith, you're energized, you're encouraged, you are excited, you're ready to go, you're ready to share more. There's a joy, an energy that doesn't come from this world. It's funny how that happens. You don't share your faith, you back out of the room backwards. I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm not going to risk that. And then your emotions go quiet. And you get lower. And then the things of this world, they weigh heavier on you. And friends, heaven and earth is going to pass away. Heaven and earth is gone. The eternal things, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love, because God is love. So why are we not sharing the love of God with other people who become a Christian? The enemy of being called, and you all are called, we all are called, is allowing things in your life to be ground to a full stop. The challenge that God has for you and for me, his word says it. You want to save your life? Give it away. You want to save your faith? Give it away. You want to save what you have? Give it away. It's the upside down kingdom, friends. The last will be first. The poor will be rich. The weak. You want more faith? Give it away. Once you give it away on a regular basis and you start sharing your faith, God will increase your faith. And you will be fighting the law of entropy. You will be fighting against it. And you will have an energy, a joy, a satisfaction, a purpose, a call that you never knew was there. That was my challenge on Friday. And I'm telling you, friends, you're not going to want to miss this on September the 23rd. That Friday, it's in about 4 weeks from now. I'm telling you, you are not going to want to miss it. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. I do know some things that God has revealed to me, but you're not going to want to miss it. Because I've been in groups where people have committed to share their faith. I have been in those groups. And you come out of those rooms, it's almost like you're floating on air. It's like, whoa, this is really neat. This is awesome. This is what it's all about. This is what I signed up for. It's not coming and playing church. It's not coming and sitting. It's going out and it's interacting and it's engaging the people who need Jesus. And so, friends, don't miss it. Don't miss it. And don't buy into the second law of thermodynamics for your faith and allow things to grind to a halt. Because once they stop, very rarely in my ministry time have I ever seen somebody get it started again. It just stops. So may you begin. I don't know where you're at. Your relationship with Jesus is great. Maybe you are confirming that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, through your words and through your actions. That's awesome. That's wonderful. Maybe you are teetering on bordering whether or not you depend upon the leading of the Holy Spirit. I challenge you to let the Holy Spirit lead. If your relationship with Jesus needs tuned up, tune it up. If you need to confirm that Jesus is the Christ through your words and actions, say, Lord, sanctify me, make me holy, help me, strengthen me in the spirit of my life. Get right with him. That's my challenge to all of us. Don't buy in to the law of entropy, because you will find no fulfillment there. You will find no satisfaction there. You will find no purpose there. You heard from several individuals, and I can guarantee you that most of those individuals that were up here earlier, they struggled. The struggle is real, friends. I could tell you of my own journey. The struggle is real. But my goodness, when you experience the joy, you see, I can't even stop the smile on my face. That's what happens, friends. That's the infectious, the contagious energy that God wants you to have. He doesn't want it just for a select few. He doesn't want it just for those that are called ministry. No, he wants it for you. He wants it for all brothers and sisters in Christ. He wants you to experience the unending, unspeakable, unknowing joy that you don't know right now. He wants you to experience that. He wants that for all of us. So don't miss it. September the 23rd. I challenge you all. And I hope we have to meet in here. I really do. I am excited. I'm fired up about it. And you know what? If you look at that verse 18 again, you see, far too often churches, they have taken the defensive position in their relationship with the world. When Jesus says, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know what that means? That we go on the offensive. And friends, I'm tired of being on the defensive. I am tired of it. I am looking forward to sharing my faith with those who are hungry for the bread of life, Lord, those who are thirsting for the living water, Jesus. I am so excited about that because, friends, that's why we are here. That's why God has called us. That's what he has asked us to do. And quite frankly, it's not an option. If you are in Christ, it's a mandate. It's an expectation. If you follow me, anyone wants to follow me, Jesus said, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your joy. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your call, the call that you have placed upon all of us. We thank you for that, Jesus. Father, it's with great anticipation and expectation of what you will do. And it's not about Trinity. It's about building your kingdom. But it is about building your church. It's not that we can build it. You must build it, oh God. But for whatever reason, you have called us to be partners with you. We bless you, oh Lord. We thank you. May you find us all faithful and obedient as we follow you. May we not allow things to grind to a halt in our relationship with you. May we confess and to confirm that you are the living God, the eternal Christ, the first and the last, not only in speech, but through our lives. Lord, may we depend upon your leading through the Holy Spirit. And Father, our hearts and our joy, our minds, and the peace that is there, they're overwhelmed with thoughts of what you will do. We bless you now. We thank you, O Heavenly Jesus. We praise you and we honor you. In the holy name of the risen Christ, we do pray. Amen. As we close, may the God who yearns for you to live the life that he died to purchase for you and for me, to experience that in your daily life, may he find you faithful and obedient in following him. And may you guard against things grinding to a halt and slowing down in your daily devotion with Jesus. And may you truly experience the joy, the peace, the hope, the energy, and the love, and all that he has to offer each and every day. as you and I depart in peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you sense his holy abiding presence as we go. Amen.